Let's just thank Him for what He's going to do in our lives, what He's going to do in this place, what He's not just tonight, but in the days to come. Amen. Faith knows that great things are on the horizon. Faith knows that God is able and He's willing, that as we open up our hearts and we begin to just glorify Him and exalt Him, we pour our love on Him, and when we do that, we can't help but to get some of it on us. Can we say amen? So just lift your voice in your own words, your own language. Father, we thank You for Your presence tonight. Lord, we glorify You over every circumstance, above every problem, Lord. Lord, there is nothing too difficult for You. And we come here abandoning the attack and the platform of the enemy that would only distract us from seeing the big plan and seeing Your purpose unfold in our lives. And we yield to Your Spirit tonight, saying, Jesus, You are Lord over our lives, every area of our lives. And we've come to praise You. We've come to glorify You. We've come to exalt You. Jesus, be lifted up tonight. Let every man be brought low, but be lifted up high tonight, Jesus. And we promise to give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And everyone said, amen. Come on, say it like you mean it now. Say amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Say amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. All the time. Hallelujah. Shout. Hallelujah. Look at your I want you to slap your neighbor. Tell him, get ready. God's got something for you tonight. Come on. Touch two or three people. Say, God's got your number tonight. Matter of fact, He skipped over millions because He found some hungry people in Wasilla, Alaska. Three of you. We got three of you that time. I said, God skipped a lot of people tonight because He heard the cry of some hungry people who were radical and wanted to seek His face in Alaska. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just remain standing here, but let's get into the Word. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and this is pretty interesting to me. I'm going to start in verse 1. I believe it was two Sundays ago, Pastor Daniel preached from the same passage of Scripture. Little did we know, I preached from the same passage of Scripture in Anchorage as well. And how many of you know God's good? And He knows how to plan things. And obviously, you know, after I had found out, we had talked on the phone, and I said, how crazy is that? And he told me what he shared, and now I'm going to share with you tonight what the Lord I shared with in Anchorage, and I'm going to add a little more to it just for the people that were in Anchorage. So I'm going to just put a little kick to it and make it good. But the second book of Kings, chapter 5, starting in verse 1 through verse 17, and I'm going to read. When you're there, say amen. Y'all are quick tonight. I'm telling you, y'all must be learning your Bible. Hallelujah. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man, and his master accepted and acceptable because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told the king thus and thus, and said the maid from Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send you a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it said, when the letter comes to you, I will with it have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him from leprosy. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he ripped his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill or to make alive that this man sends to me to heal a man of his leprosy? Just consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." Then Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had ripped his clothes, and he sent to the king asking, "Why have you ripped your clothes? Let Naaman come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stopped at Elisha's door. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leper. Are not the Abana or the Papar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went away in rage. And his servants came near to him and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, would you have not already done it? How much rather then when he says to wash and be clean?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. And as the man of God had said, and as his flesh was restored like a little child, and he was clean. And Naaman returned to the man of God. And he said, with all his company, and he stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So now accept a gift from your servant." Elisha said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will accept none." He urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. Naaman said, "Then I pray you, let there be given to me, your servant, 2 mules, your burden of earth, for your servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice to other gods, but only to the Lord." Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. I thank you that it's going where no knife can go, and you're going to begin to change and renew and re-energize in us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to go and work deep in the depths of our heart, Lord, and expose the things that have offended us and conquered us in our past. And we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Tonight, I'm going to really talk to you about deliverance. How many of you have ever really been, you've experienced deliverance before in your life or in some area of your life? And you know, it reminds me of many different things, but I've got to set a foundation here for you before I continue with what I'm going to teach on tonight, or preach, I should say. I'm not really a teacher, but here you go. You see a man, Naaman. He is the commander of the Syrian army, and now because he has leprosy, he hears what his maid has said to his wife, saying, "Listen, there's this man in Israel. He has the power through God Almighty, the God we serve, to cure you." And then, of course, he speaks to the king. The king sends him, just like we read. And then the king becomes angry and then sends him to Elisha. And really, the title of my message tonight is "Your River of Deliverance Is are your the river of offense is your river of deliverance." Can you say amen? Well, y'all, some of y'all laughed, and some of y'all, all the blood ran out of your face. I'm not sure to get excited, or if some of you are like, "Okay, should I really be here tonight?" Some of people are saying, "I knew I shouldn't have come. I should have just took the night off." But I promise you, it's not going to be as like you think it is. But here he is. He is going to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel sends him unto the man of God. And immediately, the prophet doesn't even come out of his house. He doesn't even come out of his door. He doesn't look at him. He doesn't say anything. And he sends his servant. He says, listen, go dip in the river 7 times. And suddenly, Naaman expresses that he is offended. He begins to move in anger and rage because he says, why is it that the man of God cannot even come out of his house? He can't talk to me. He can't say nothing. He won't even come and wave his hand over where I am sick, but he sends this little snot-nosed servant that nobody wants to talk to, that nobody's interested in, he should be polishing my shoes. He should be ironing and cleaning my clothes. And he comes out to give me an order and to tell me that I need to go dip in a nasty, muddy river that stinks 7 times, not 1 time, not 2 times, not 3, 7 times he wants me to go dip in the nasty river, something that does not look pleasing to my eyes, or something that pulls me out of my comfort zone and gets me in the place where I really have to just depend on the word that was spoken to me. Hey God, you mean I've got to do something that is completely out of my comfort zone? Not only does it call me out of my comfort zone, but I am offended that he would ask someone with my stature, with my looks, with my character, with my position, with my authority. I am offended that he would even, they should have made some bath water for me that was warm. But now they're sending me down to the muddy river. The rivers in my own country is better than the rivers of Israel. And they want me to go down to their pretty much mud pit and get in. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in Israel and you've seen the Jordan River. Matter of fact, if you blink, you will miss it, actually. I joke around with people who drive in the car with me there because they'll all be sitting back and I'll be like, oh, did y'all see the Jordan River? They said, where? I said, you just missed it. It's already way down there, a half a mile. I said, you missed it. You blink. I said, it's little. It's not like the Mississippi River. It's a tiny thing. It's muddy. You can't see to the bottom. You don't really want to get into it. I never understood people who wanted to get baptized in it, honestly. Honestly, people go to Israel to get baptized in the river, and I'm thinking, my Lord, I'll let somebody else baptize you. I ain't ready to get in that. I don't know. You might get something getting in that water. I'm telling you right now. But my point is that over the years, and I've been traveling just over 7 years now, I've been in over 10 countries of the world, and I've seen that many people would come in the meetings, especially that was new to the move of God, and suddenly because it didn't fit into what they had already been exposed to, or it didn't really come up to the expectation, or it didn't look how they wanted it to look, or how they wanted it to feel, they suddenly begin to be offended towards God and to the presence of God because they see people doing stuff that they're not used to, and they see people reacting a certain way, so therefore they suddenly allow offense to rise in their heart when that is really the very thing that God wants to use to set them free and to set them free from the struggles and the things that have conquered them in their life. Can you say amen? Because many people have this preconceived idea of how they want God to come and touch them. God, you can touch me as long as you do it my way. I don't want to fall on the ground. I don't want to laugh. I don't want to speak in tongues. I don't want to shake. I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to do anything that looks displeasing to me. It just looks like muddy water to me. It looks foolish to me. It looks dead and muddy and ugly. And I just don't want to do that. I would rather just, you know, be dignified, say my nice little prayers, continue doing the same thing, and you just touch me, Lord. Matter of fact, you can touch me in certain places, but don't touch me deep in where you know I got that issue. Just touch me how you know how I want you to touch me, Lord. I don't care if you touch me as long as you meet my conditions. I think the angels in heaven is laughing right now. And then suddenly, when God don't seem to touch them the way they think He should, and God is wanting to do something else, they allow themselves to be offended, and now they are leaving, going around the same mountain. Matter of fact, let's take it a little deeper here. Let's talk about people who begin to offend you in the house of God because they just walked by and never even greeted you. Woo! Shaka. I remember pastoring, and this lady said, I'm offended with you, Pastor. I can't believe you walked by me this morning. I said, I'm sorry. I've got my mind on something, and I honestly wasn't looking at you. I told them honestly, and the color ran out. I said, but listen, that doesn't change the fact that I love you. I know. I am your pastor. I support you in everything I do. But maybe God wants you to be delivered in that area where you're no longer seeking other people to fulfill the desires of your heart, but you seek Him with all your faith, Jesus Christ. And God just might allow some things to offend you because He wants to deliver you from the captivity that you are in and place you in a place of liberty and freedom. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to deliver you. God will use the things that offend you to deliver you. Ask your neighbor, are you offended? That's good, because God's going to deliver you with it. God's going to set you free with it. God's going to work a miracle in your life with it. He said, you know, because people come and they say, I want you to lay hands on me. I said, well, you don't need me to lay hands on you. Forget it. You just need to lift your hands, yield to the Spirit of God, and He'll fill you up to overflowing. He'll set you on fire. It's not man. It's not my own hands, but it's Christ that is within me, that He is pouring down from heaven. But will you open up your heart? Don't ask a man to come out and wave His hand over you, but just receive it from heaven. Get it for yourself so you know it was not man, but it was God Almighty sent from heaven, sent down to change you, to set you free, and to deliver you. Can you say amen? I tell people, there's a place where you can no longer just live from church service to church service, from revival meeting for revival meeting. Sometimes when hell hits the fan in your house, you just got to lift your hand and say, God, I need you to move, and I need you to move right now. I can't wait for the pastor to answer the phone. I can't wait to go to church on Sunday to get hands laid on. But God, I'm calling down heaven by your Son's name now, and I am asking for you to send your power that will deliver me out of my circumstance, that will deliver me out of my problem. And I know by faith that you are able and willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think, according to the power you have established on the inside of me. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I done preach myself happy. Meaning the very, you see, because if Elisha would have came out and waved his hand, suddenly he would seek him for more. He would go after the man. And how many of you know God's not interested in you going after a man? He's interested in you going after His Spirit. He's interested in you saying, God, here am I. Do it in me so you can do it through me. Work in me. Deliver me. Those things that offend me. Those things that hindrance me. And what people don't understand is that offense is the breeding ground for demonic activity. It will cause things to attach itself to you where you suddenly find yourself, next thing you know, you allow things that are said from the pulpit. You allow people in church to offend you. You leave that church. You go to another church. It's the same story all over again. People still offend you. They still make you angry. Then you move out of the state. You go somewhere else. You walk into the church and the same person that offended you, you find their twin in that building. And you are saying, my goodness, it ain't that everybody is messed up. It can't be everybody and it can't be every church. There is something in you that God is wanting to pull out by His Spirit, and He is using people to pick at that very thing that is on the inside of you. Can you say amen? He is using that to pick at that scab, to pick at that wound, to pick at that, because He says, I can't heal it with it just messed up, with you covering it with bandages. But let me open it up so that I can bring the healing power down into that wound. So I can deliver you from some things. So I can deliver you from a spirit of offense that would do nothing but set you up to be conquered and taken over by an enemy. Can you say amen? Say, my river of offense is a river of deliverance. My river of offense is a river of a deliverance. Slap your neighbor. Say, you need to get delivered. Sometimes you gotta dip more than 7 times before the offense goes away. Sometimes you gotta keep dipping till that offense begins to kinda just soak right off of you. Sometimes you gotta get in the river a little more. If it offends you to let for people to get under the power of God and fall, matter of fact, you need to be first in line to get a hold of it. If it offends you to speak in tongues that people speak in tongues, you need to be first in line to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that is the very thing that God wants to use to take you to the next level. Can you say amen? And we have created in society and in the church world today where we don't want to offend people. Because of that, we have put a leash on the power of God and we have chained it to a wall saying you can only move in these boundaries that will not offend people. And because of God's grace, because His goodness, He does move within those boundaries. But what happens when you take a God who is ready to save the lost, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils, and you say, I am taking you off the leash. It don't matter who gets offended, because you will work everything out for your good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes getting delivered is dangerous. Sometimes it's, you see, because what you have to understand is you have to begin to look at deliverance at a different perspective. For Naaman, it could have been dangerous. It could have been nasty. You know, you can catch anything in rivers. It could have ended up worse for him, being in leprosy and then going and dipping in water that is just filthy with allergy and everything you can imagine. But it kind of reminds me of the children of Israel. When Moses began to put his staff up and suddenly the water became walls and they began to cross on dry ground, it looked dangerous. It looked messed up. It looked impossible. Matter of fact, it was scary, but it was the very thing God was going to use to get them out, not only so that He could deliver them, but so He could take out their enemies behind them. Can you say amen? Deliverance can be kind of messy. Some things might come out of you that you've been hiding for a long time and you didn't want anybody to know. Some things might go screaming, flipping, and crying. Matter of fact, when Naaman got angry and rage, what happened is he really manifested. He manifested with a devil of pride, a devil of rage, and anger. Because they're like wolves. They stay in packs. If you got one, you probably got more. And they circle their prey. They strategize to mess your life up. Because that devil knows that when you do exactly what he don't want you to do, it's all over for him. It's like, it's funny, we've had people receive the joy of the Lord in the meetings, and then people who are depressed and on medication for depression walk out the building when everybody's getting filled with the joy. I mean, it's like, or they get mad because we preach on giving, and then they go home and watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's unbelievable. Or they're on depression pills. They're eating Prozac. They're drinking Drano. They're doing everything in their possibility. And then when the joy begins to break out, they suddenly begin angry and begin to manifest and say, "Hey, God doesn't do that. Last time I checked, the devil didn't make anybody happy. Last time I checked, the Word of God says that the joy of the Lord is my strength." It says, "And then my mouth was filled with laughter." That joy is as medicine. You might stomp out, you might leave, but that's exactly what you need. Get mad because we preach on giving and then they go home. They're watching all the game shows on how to become a millionaire, what to do. They're going home reading 21 ways you can be a millionaire. Spending hours on the internet. Living in a total state of poverty. Matter of fact, only one place on the stove works. The other three don't even work. And then they get mad when somebody's talking about, "Listen, you all the burners on your stove can work. You don't just have one. God is a God of more than enough. Matter of fact, if you want two stoves, He'll give you two stoves. You tired of driving a car that backfires every time you come to a red light? Don't worry about it. If you catch the revelation of it, you ain't got to drive a car that backfires at the red light anymore. Don't allow that to offend you. Allow it to deliver you out of the state of poverty you are in, because you got to come out of something before you can step into something greater." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, "Your river of offense is your river of deliverance." The thing that offends you, God wants to use to deliver you. Ha ha. Hallelujah. 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 You say, "I don't like loud music." You need to get in your car and turn it up as loud as you can. sure you like it. Matter of fact, if you don't like having long services, show up 2 hours early and wait till the end of the service till you start to like it. If you don't like the way the waitress is waiting on you, then you leave her a big tip so she does better next time. Can you say amen? God uses little situations because He is more interested in your character than He is your comfort. He is more interested in putting you in uncomfortable situations so that you get out of the place where He can deal with the real you. Because God can't deal with the real you when you are comfortable. Because when you are comfortable, you wear a mask. And God will not deal with your fakeness, but He will deal with the real you. Can you say amen? He wants to know you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to do a work in you. He don't need to work in your fakeness. It's nothing. It's not even a reality. He wants to work on the inside of your heart. He wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you from what you're going through. He wants to do it inside you. Because then if He can do it in you, He can do it through you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel like somebody's being delivered already in this place. I feel somebody's about to break out of their cave in here. Somebody's about to... Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. I know this is a little different, but I'm taking it easy. I've been preaching hard for months now. Lift your hands. The power of God wants to deliver you. Wants to deliver you from your mindset. That's it. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, the woman came to Jesus and she said, heal my child. And He says, should we take crumbs from the table to feed to the dogs? You talk about a chance to be offended. But even she was smart enough to know if it's only crumbs for the master's table, it'll at least do the job. I might be a dog, but at least I'm not a fool. You might think I'm a dog, but at least I know where I can get exactly what I need. The lady was completely set up for an offense. I mean, think about it. Jesus walks up to you and you say, I need to receive my sight. I'm blind. And He goes, He spits in some mud. not only does he spit in front of you, which is disgusting, but now he is rubbing spit and mud in your eyes. Shall we demonstrate tonight? Come here. No, I'm just kidding. Because many people get offended by methods and how God uses things to do what He wants to do. And this is a mentality that needs to be destroyed in the body of Christ. Because it's like, God, you're going to do it my way or it's going to be the highway. And how many of you know God don't work that way? He don't move that way. It's not about what you want. It ain't never been about what you want. It's about what He wants to do in you. Can you say amen? I mean, it's crazy. What about you have to get up in a tree to get His attention? Or He ignores you. Then, just like blind Bartimaeus, what, he had to scream. Screaming like a nut. People are even getting offended around him. Why? Because even people will get offended around you. Because the truth is, they don't want you to get something they can't have. Because they know they're not at the place of surrender that you are. And they might be in denial on the outside, but on the inside in their heart, they know the truth. That they need what you're getting. They said, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you. You don't have to yell. But you don't understand. I'm trying to get to Jesus. Just be quiet. He can't talk to you. No, I can't wait another moment. I got to get into that place to get my deliverance. I can't be satisfied with where I am any longer. I don't care who it offends. I don't care who it runs off. I don't care who it matters. Matter of fact, you can either join me or be against me, but I am going to get exactly what God has for my life. Can you say amen? Say it, look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to get exactly what God has for my life. I want everything in the nutshell. I want everything. I want everything. I don't care if I got to stand up. I don't care if I got to stand on my head and clap my feet. I hope He never asks me to do that. But if He does, so be it. But you also see that Naaman has to come to a place of desperation where he is willing to go low, lower than even what he suspects is high. Meaning he has to bring himself to where he is humbled. And then yields by receiving the instruction and obeying the prophet's command. Meaning desperation has to come in his heart where he doesn't care how God does it as long as he does it. Are you at the place where you don't care how God does it as long as He does it? You don't care. Are you at the place where if you had to hang from these speakers up here for it to happen? Are you at the place that if He told you to run around the building 30 times and by the 25th time you couldn't hardly walk, you were dragging 1 foot, begging for mercy, but you were determined in your heart you were going to do it because you knew that God had something for you and you knew you had to grab a hold of it. See, that's really the key to revival. People don't understand about revival. Revival is going to provoke, it's going to offend, because it is shaping your character and it is placing you in a position where it really gets down to the bottom line. Do you want it or do you not? Do you really care about it or are you just satisfied with a little touch here, a little touch there? But are you willing to go and pay the price and say, God, I don't care how low I gotta go, but I am going to catch the revival and I am going to grab a hold of your power that is not going to just change my life. It's going to change my church. It's going to change my village. It's going to change my city. It's going to change my state. It's going to change my nation and the nations of the world for your glory. I don't care what I gotta do. I don't care what I gotta say. I don't care how long I gotta lift my hands. I don't care how long I gotta shout. But God, just do it. Just do it on the inside of me. Can you say amen? Do it. It brings you to a place of desperation. Many people wonder why they become to a place that where it seems like you are at the end of the rope and you are hanging on a cliff. And it's because that is the only place where your true desperation will come in your heart. Because if it's going good and you're soaring over the mountains, you don't seem to have a need for Him. But suddenly when you begin to go through some valleys and you step into some deserts, you realize, whoa, I better call upon His name so that I can start soaring on the mountains again. Can you say amen? Sometimes you got to get to those places before you can that desperation can get in your heart. Can you say amen? I can't tell you how many people I've offended in my life. I'm sure it's in the hundreds of thousands. There's only one. There's only two people I try not to offend when I go to a church. That's the pastor and his wife. And his wife is number one. Oh, even over him. I told my interns, I said, it don't matter if the pastor likes you. If his wife likes you, you're going back. It's going to work. Because if mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mom ain't happy, boy, whew. From experience, trust me, World War III, coming down the pipe, something will bust loose and it won't be the Spirit of God either. And it's funny, you're going to get a transformation of the mind. You either going to get it God's way or you're going to get it mama's way, one of the two. Because you know, us guys, we always like, well, bless the Lord. The Lord will take it. No, no, that ain't good enough for the women. Can you say amen? Come on, just agree with me, man. You know it's the truth. Come on, this might offend you, but God, you say, I'm the man of my house. Yeah, sure you are. You don't know who the neck is, do you? You don't know. Listen, I've read a lot of books. I understand how it works. Matter of fact, I've watched a lot of people. I'm a very good observer. But I offend lots of people. I say things sometimes on purpose. I'll never forget. I was in Helsinki, Finland. And I don't usually tell stories a lot when I preach, but tonight I just, you know, it's kind of like family here. I'll never forget, I was in Helsinki, Finland, and I'm on television. They're actually doing our meetings live because we rent neutral venues and we do our own meetings because we have such a great magnitude of people come in the meetings. And they're filming the meetings, and I already knew it was going to irritate them. So I deliberately did it because I knew they needed a breakthrough in the area. Because they were into this secret sensitive feel where it's, we don't want to offend our viewers. They should have never put me on camera. And I felt that, you know, when the anointing comes upon you, you get very bold. I call it sometimes stupid bold. You say stuff that you are like, after you go back, you listen to it, you say, oh my Jesus. So they were, you know, they said to me, because, you know, in a lot of places, sometimes we take all night. We just speak on giving. We don't talk about anything else. And that night, I mean, they give us like 4 hours on the air. So first of all, what do they want me to do? Preach 1 4-hour message? That's what I'm thinking. And plus, they say, we need you to raise money for this network. We need you to encourage people to give. We need you to teach on giving because we need to, you know, we have a certain budget we have to meet. And I said, okay, I'll pray about it. I prayed about it. I felt that I needed to do it. So then when they come to me and they say, all right, we want you to teach on giving, but you can only do it about 5 minutes. I said, no deal. I'm not doing it. And finally, they begin to work with me. And I said to them, just give me some time. I said, do you want 50 cents to come in? I said, or do you want the power of God to begin to work? Because the power of God in the gospel is what compels people to give into the kingdom of God. It is not the enticing words of man. It is not, and I said, I definitely don't do any manipulating. So if you want me to, you know, try to sell some holy water that is actually from Russia, that if you drink it, it'll actually make you sick. I said, forget it. I'm not selling nothing. I'm not going to give them an Ark of Covenant. I'm not going to say, if you give this amount, we'll give you this. I said, that ain't how we do it. We don't work that way. We only preach faith, and we only preach the gospel and prosperity. Even my partners from my ministry, they know they probably won't ever get a gift from me, but maybe once a year in the mail, and they don't even know what it is. And the reason, because they don't need to be giving to give something back. They need to do it because they love God with all their heart. And if they love God with all their heart, they want to fund His works. Can you say amen? And here I am. I said, I'm preaching out of 2 Chronicles. And I finally said, bless God, I'm just going to smack it upside the head. This is it. I took an hour and 15 minutes on it. I mean, and the camera people, the colors running out of their face. They are so mad at me. They're having poster boards in the back of the building saying, change right now. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm pushing this forward right now. I am going to break the back of this religion right now. I mean, I was just so determined. I was so irritated that they were doing this. And I mean, there was manipulation involved in stuff. And it was ridiculous. And I said, this is not of God. So we're going to start doing it God's way. And next thing you know, the producer walks out of the back room and stands at it. And I said, I'm almost done, just when he walked out. And I still took another 15 minutes. So, of course, they take up a record-breaking offering, and they are still mad at me.
And the reason why I'm telling you this, didn't matter about what they were getting. It mattered what we were dealing with, what was on the inside of them. And even after they seen the results, they would not allow the very thing that offended them to deliver them. The very thing that met their needs for that month. And I did it for free. I said, I'm not charging you. I said, we don't charge. We don't work like that. I said, we trust God like you do. We don't come in for a set honorarium and we don't allow people to pay our own bills. We trust God. We don't rely on churches. We don't rely, you know, we just trust God in every area. And I trust God in business as well. It's not about depending on an honorarium, especially if you're a preacher. You got to just flat out trust God. If you're going to make it. Even as pastoring, you got to, I mean, you know, flat out trust the Lord with everything. But the problem is, we've had people that even come in, get hit by the power of God. They are shaking, quaking, and baking. And then immediately, shake, quake, and bake. And then immediately, because they begin to run back to the familiar, they suddenly become offended in their heart because the very thing that God delivered them of, not only did it come back, but it came back with 7 times more. Because we have to understand that when God delivers us, we do not get around the things that polluted us. We don't return back like a dog returns back to its own vomit. We go forward. We stand in the might of His Spirit and we realize that He is taking us from glory unto glory unto glory. He hasn't come to demote us, but He has come to promote us and take us to a higher place in Him. Can you say amen? But we've got to allow Him to deliver us. And the problem is, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. You walk around the world, people are pretty much easy. Worldly people can be very easy to get along with. There was a time in my life that I did want to do nothing but preach to sinners. And the reason why, because every word that came out of my mouth offended a church person. And I said, God, I am literally sick and tired of having to put babies in, or bottles in their mouth. And, well, I ain't even going to tell you the rest. That's what I said, but TPT. I said, Lord, I'm tired of using toilet paper on believers. I am ready. To see their lives change. But I am not going to deal with somebody who will not yield to what you want to do in their life. I ain't going to deal with them. I am not. The Bible says if they want to be stupid, let them be stupid. They don't know. If they want to stay in the place of ignorance, then let them stay in it. Don't even tell them what they're doing is wrong. Just let them do it. If they're not open to receive correction. Can you say amen? And you know, it's funny because God really used them to offend me. He used people who was offended to offend me. To get something out of me. He said, you see how they are not having grace with you? And you're not having grace with them. He says, and now I'm going to teach them my grace, and you'll have grace with them even in their offense. Can you say amen? that if they don't accept it, just let them go. Don't try to fight. Don't try to argue with them. Don't try to argue the word with them. Don't try to argue tongues with them. My God, if they can't, they'll never get it until they experience it anyways. They'll never understand it. They'll read the scriptures. They'll try to do everything and try to be logical. But there are some things God does that are just not logical. And He can do that because He is God Almighty. Can you say amen? And when you write the book, you can do whatever you want. Amen? When you are in charge, then you can do it. I told one person, I said, when you are the pastor of this church, then you can direct the orders. But until then, you are going to submit. Ooh, I heard cotton balls drop in here. And you are going to do it with a smile on your face. So help me. You will no longer look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. Bless the Lord. But you will do it happy and full of joy. I started crying. You're right. You're right. I mean, some people you just have to get to that place. Just like that. You got to be upfront and honest with them. You know, because that's all they understand. They've been treated like that their whole lives, so they only respond to that. Sometimes you gotta yell. I yell a lot because I want to wake people up. I had this guy sleeping in the meetings in North Pole. His head would... I got right beside him. And I mean, I could hear him. He's almost to the place where you can actually hear him snoring. And then I just start shouting as loud as I can. The power of God has come to deliver. He's come to set you free. He's come to pull you. And he don't even know what's going on. People say God's not deaf and we're not deaf. But no, He's not nervous either, and neither are you. Jesus said, listen, I just haven't come to bring peace, but He said, I've come like as fire. I've come to divide one to another. He said, I have pretty much come to disrupt your organization. I have come to disrupt your life. I have not come to just make your life full of joy and have tea with you every day. I have come with resurrection life that shakes the ground you walk on. I have come to cast the devil out of your mind. I have come to provoke you, to wake you up and say, quit having lazy faith and allow the Spirit of God to quicken your body and bring you up out of your sleep. How many of you know that's uncomfortable when tables start getting turned over in the temple? When a whip starts flying, something's getting a little uncomfortable. But it is necessary to run out the thieves in your life and the devils in your life. You might get hit a few times while he's swinging, but it's okay. He'll take care of that too. It's just necessary to kick out the garbage and to deliver you from something so that you can walk in the righteousness and in the holiness of Almighty God, knowing that when you stand before Him, you allowed Him to do everything necessary on the inside of you. Can you say amen? I tell myself, I'm fixing to turn some tables over in this. turn some chairs. We're going to wreck the place up. I didn't come. That's what people don't understand. We didn't come for just some good meeting. We didn't come to just say, everybody say, hallelujah, glory to God. No, we come to say, you're either going to get with it. You are either going to get in or you're going to get lost. But one of the two, something is going to break on the inside of you. I tell people, one way or another, your devil is leaving this building with you or without you. But it is going to leave, because where the power of the Holy Ghost is, you better decide, are you going to keep it or are you going to get rid of it? But it is not staying around here. Can you say amen? You are not going to hang around here and still sipping on the bottle. You are not going to hang around here and just smoke your Alaskan weed every now and then. You are not going to say, my God, the power of the Holy Ghost is here to deliver you and set you free and bring you out of that bondage. You will not hang around people full of the fire of God and do the things of the world. But bless God, you're going to catch the fire and you're going to allow it to burn everything out that is not of Him, and you're going to rise up in the power and the might of His Holy Spirit, saying, this thing once had me bound, but Jesus came. Jesus walked in the room. It offended me. It struck me wrong. But bless God, I can hold my head up tonight high and say, I have truly been delivered, and I am walking in real freedom. I am walking in real joy, and I am walking in peace. Can you say amen? You ain't going to hang around here and have those lustful thoughts. You ain't going to hang around and watch pornography. You ain't going to hang around one way or another. You are either going to yield to the deliverance or you are going to go back where you came from. Can you say amen? And the good news is that the deliverance is available from the youngest child to the oldest saint. That everyone can be delivered, even from stinginess. Do you have a stingy devil? And is that why you get irritated every time somebody preaches on giving? You can hear those cotton balls again. I gave an altar call one night. The Lord put on my heart. I never in 100 years thought anybody would answer it. But I said, if you got a spirit of stinginess on your life, get up here right now. 35 people later, they're coming. I said, if you have a problem with me teaching on giving, you probably have a spirit of stinginess. Get up here. After 30, then another, about 15 walked up. I mean, listen, they embrace the deliverance. They heard the instruction, but they embraced it instead of being offended, not only allowing it to offend them, but walking away from it, denying the power thereof. Denying the fact that God wants to use that to deliver them. He exposes things. He uses things to offend us, to expose the depths of our heart. You know, if people didn't get offended in church all the time, they might actually stay in consistently. They might actually go. If they don't let things bother them. I'm not talking about just people who get offended in church. I'm talking about people who get offended at their job. And especially, now I ain't picking on women, but I know how y'all are. You, something can bother you that happened in the morning time, and you are still messed up by that night. You you come home, you'll say, you ain't gonna believe who said this to me. And then you'll say, I knew we had to get something for dinner tonight, so I went down there to Three Bears, and I was going to get this chicken, but the chicken was outrageous. But you wouldn't believe who I ran in while I was in there, and you couldn't believe that they had the audacity to say that to me. And you say, you going to church tonight? My mind's just had it. I can't put up. I gotta go to bed. Kids, turn that TV down now! Men just kind of take it and sit on it. Because we allow even the ones that are close to us, men, we allow them to offend us. And because we don't want to explode, we take our offense with our toys and our cave. I'm serious. Listen to this. We go into our cave. And sometimes, because we've been offended for so long, and we stay in the cave so long that we can't get back out. So therefore, our feelings and our emotions become cut off completely. So there, when she's wanting us to express our feelings towards her, we can't. Because we're still held in offense from her for so long that we've went in the cave and somebody rolled a stone over it.